Okay, Ron Marmoleski, let's talk about the AFC right now. We'll start out with the West, where the Denver Broncos came on huge last season. How do we rate them?
Going into the draft, they were the favorites. They are the favorites in terms of winning in the AFC, and they did a great job in the offseason up to the draft when we talk about guys like Wes Welker. In the draft, I really wanted them to stay in the first round, and they did. I really wanted them to address defensive line, defensive tackle, defensive end, and they did. And they got Sylvester Williams. Now, scouts are a little bit divided on him. He doesn't always go 100%, but this is the NFL now, and John Fox relies on rotational defensive linemen who give it their all, and this guy can be rock solid. He can help them in the run defense. He could occupy blockers. So I like what they started out with. And then they go Monte Ball. Monte Ball, as they say.
Yes.
And there was a good point made. A lot of what the draft experts kind of said was that he has a lot of wear and tear on him. He had almost 1,000 carries. And then Denver shot back and said that might matter at the back end of his career. But he's still 22, 23 years old right now. We're looking at right now. And believe me, with Peyton Manning under center, they're looking at it right now, and they see him as a three-down back, and it could work.
I feel a connection to Monte Ball. I was the last guy in the locker room as the Badgers were going to their bus at the Rose Bowl, and he was standing there getting dressed. He was the last player left, and I wanted one guy to talk to, and it happened to be him. He's a really nice guy. He gave me a few minutes. And it was fun to just say, hey, I wish you well in the NFL. And he smiled, and he was so excited about, okay, well, we didn't do so great in the Rose Bowl, but the transition could be, who knows for him? How good is he at that level, do you think?
If he was faster,
it would help.
He'd be the steal of the draft. Because, again, you're talking about a guy who at best is a 4.6.
Right.
So what he has to do, he has to operate behind a good offensive line. And Denver has one of the top five offensive line in the entire NFL. And they have John Fox, who understands offensive line play because he made it work in Carolina. So he's got an ideal situation. He can make it work. I think he's going to get every opportunity to be that feature back.
If you were the last pick by the Denver Broncos, a quarterback out of Miami of Ohio, would you expect any playing time this year?
It's a curious pick because this guy's athletic but not accurate, and he's going to learn from one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. But if I'm Denver, I'm wondering, why didn't you address a little bit more at linebacker and cornerback? I may even be wondering that in the middle of the draft. But no, I think Zach Dysart's an interesting guy, but I think they're going to be in a little bit more trouble if he's going to be playing much in the next couple years.
How about the San Diego Chargers, who it's now a whole new team for them, a new outlook. Now the question is, what are they going to do with it? Yes, they needed O-line help. Is Fluker the guy?
Fluker had to be the guy because the other five went off. And this is one of the areas I talked to some people in San Diego face-to-face, or microphone-to-microphone, I should say, before the draft. And we talked about the possibility of whether or not one of the top five offensive linemen were going to drop to them. And I said, unfortunately, mistakenly now, that it was at least 70-30 that they would get one of the top five. They got Fluker, who's sixth, and he's really more of a mid-20s, 25 kind of guy.
So a substantial drop-off, though, from five to six, in your opinion?
Yes, because this is a right tackle only. But the good thing for San Diego, or the bad thing for San Diego, is that this is a team that needed three starting offensive linemen. And they had to address offensive linemen no matter if the first 10 picks were offensive linemen. And so they got the next best available guy. He's going to start from day one, and this is absolutely what they needed. And unfortunately, they didn't do anything else at offensive line because who knows why they forgot about that. Because in reality, he's big, he's really big, but he can't take the place of two other offensive linemen.
How about the new linebacker for the San Diego Chargers, whose last name sounds like a guy they love forever, not Seau, but it's now Teau. What do you think?
The San Diego community is considered laid back, and they're not considered big market, and they want to move the team and so on and so forth. Here's a way to create a buzz while getting one of the very best two-down linebackers available in this draft. 10 years ago, Manti Te'o would have been a top 15 pick. Now, in the bigger, faster NFL, what you really need is somebody who could play three downs and go sideline to sideline. Te'o has the instincts. He's a starter. He's a contributor. Nothing wrong with the pick, although giving up a pick for him, they went from 45 to 38, giving up an early fourth rounder on a team with multiple needs. I do have an issue with that. And so Te'o is their guy. Kevin Minter, who's equally rated, would have been there, was there at 45, was actually chosen at 45. If you could have got a linebacker, Minter, Te'o, and another pick in the fourth round, I would have liked it better. But I have nothing but praise for Te'o as a two-down linebacker, as long as the defensive line can occupy some blockers and make sure he's free to do what he does best, have the instincts to fill the lane.
One more thing on the Notre Damer, and I don't like to get caught up, and it bothers me when people do. They look at one game and say, and they make such a big deal out of that game. I'm sort of caught up in that. Against Alabama, Te'o did not do what everybody hoped he would do. He was out of position a lot. He was not tackling well. It was against a team full of NFL-type guys. Can you overlook it and just say, let's forget about that, or is this who he is?
It's a combination of both, but the best example I have that proves your point is that one game slid Big Ben in the draft of a few years ago down to the 10th pick in the Pittsburgh Steelers in a perfect marriage. He played one high-level competition team, Iowa, in September. First game, student body isn't back. He had an okay game, but he didn't wow anybody. He had 11 games after that, but everybody, including Mel Kiper and so on, went back to his game one tape against that competition and said, well, there are other quarterbacks better than him. I disagreed completely.
But is it fair? I don't want to compare him to a quarterback, because obviously it's a whole different ballgame. But another position. I mean, is it fair, though, to say, look, he looked so average, but he's obviously has a resume full of quality games. So, I mean, where do you stand on that?
I stand probably 70-30 in favor of let's not take this tape as the be-all, end-all. On the other hand, it did expose his speed.
Yeah.
You saw him chasing plays. And whether or not it's the Alabama offensive line, you know, group, which are now the NFL offensive line group or whatever, regardless, is when a running back, even an Eddie Lacy, would 4.6 speed, as we just talked about, getting past you and you're not catching up to him, I can't ignore that.
Oakland Raiders in the post-Al Davis era, we always used to giggle at a lot of his picks in the last couple of decades. So where have they turned things around now?
They are in the process of taking a $49 million dead money hit right now. And McKenzie is saying, we're starting all over. We're building a franchise. This is an expansion team. They may not say that. In fact, on record, they're saying they're competing this year. But in reality, this is more or less an expansion team with a Matt Flynn as an expansion quarterback and so on and so forth. What I like best about what McKenzie did is he absolutely understood this isn't about quality right now, it's about quantity. And he turned 6 or 7 picks into 10 picks, and that's exactly what he needed to do. And actually, they're going to be quite a few million dollars under the cap next year. It all starts now. And he did get some good players. He missed on a few. He took some reaches. He took some workout warriors. But this is the first step in what is not a St. Louis Rams quick fix.
Okay, so they picked up a lot of bodies, but are there enough quality bodies? Because if you look at them, they're a bottom three roster easily in the NFL going in.
I see 4 guys who can contribute, which means I see 6 that can't.
That's not good.
That's not good. But the 4 that can contribute, you know, might really be laying the foundation. If we talk about him, DJ Hayden, higher than where I would have picked him, an incredible medical marvel. But by the same token, he's a starting cornerback in the NFL. That's one. Watson is a starting right tackle in the NFL. Is he going to be an all-pro? Probably not. But is he going to fit in the NFL as a right tackle? Yes, that's 2. C.O. Moore is a playmaker with incredible speed, sideline to sideline. The Raiders are deficient in this and a number of areas. That's three. Now, the fourth might be somewhat controversial because we're talking here about a quarterback, Tyler Wilson.
Yep.
He's possibly the guy who might be the best quarterback in this draft. He played through pain. He played through an incredibly terrible situation in Arkansas with Bobby Petrino gone, with his top three wide receivers gone, with his running back rehabbing, and he still put up over 60%. He understands enough about the pro-style offense that he may be ready in a couple of years in the revolving door that is the Raiders quarterback slot. You may be getting a little bit more value than you think out of Tyler Wilson.
Kansas City Chiefs, 2-14 last year. Can they at least pick up a few wins this season?
They had six Pro Bowlers and two wins. So for every win, that's three Pro Bowlers. That's a good ratio. Eric Fisher, you're splitting hairs with Eric Fisher and Luke Jokel. That's a fine pick. And I like the fact that they're keeping Albert right now instead of trading him like they were going to with Miami, because that gives them really two good offensive tackles to run their schemes and so on. So we've got a situation where they're still deficient in a couple of areas. They don't have necessarily the right mindset at wide receiver. They're still missing defensive end impact. They're missing a free safety. But the biggest issue I have with them is scheme change. They go from a pure conservative Romeo Crennel run the ball, win with defense scheme to an Andy Reid, we pass more than any other team in the league in ratio from pass to run. And that's going to be a transition that never works in college, and we're going to find out whether it works in the NFL.
Well, and you also have to have the right people to do that. I mean, I think Andy Reid is sort of stuck right now because he doesn't have the right people.
He has enough stars, if you believe the Pro Bowl entries, to actually make this work. He has one of the best safeties in the league. He has one of the best cornerbacks in the
league. I'm talking about his offense, though.
Offensively, square peg, round hole at wide receiver. I don't really like the fit. The tight ends can't stay on the field enough, although I like the tight end they got in round three. Obviously, Charles is a breakthrough running back that Reed knows how to use because he had McCoy and so on. Whether Alex Smith is the guy, we'll find out, but it is an improve. It's definitely an upgrade from last year. The pieces are in place. If the scheme change doesn't radically change how Kansas City does business, that they're the clear number two team in this division.
The question is, can the Chargers or anybody else even challenge the Broncos?
I don't think so, not with Peyton Manning at the helm.
Bottom line, and the AFC South will begin with their champion, Houston Texans, coming off a 12-4 mark. What do you think of their draft?
It stops and starts at 27. After 5 years of wishing and hoping that they would get a wide receiver, they not only drafted DeAndre Hopkins, they drafted the one wide receiver of the entire group that best fits the complement to Andre Johnson. This is a perfect fit. If they had Hopkins or a Hopkins type any of the last 2 years, I think you'd be talking about a team that would have won at least one more playoff game and maybe even been in the Super Bowl. That's how much I think of Hopkins.
Wow, that's great. But what about the rest of their picks?
Swearinger at strong safety is a physical presence. If you go near him, he's going to let you know what happens. And the issue with Houston is that they gave up too many over-the-top plays. What they want to prevent is somebody just having free reign in terms of just going across the middle, beating the cornerbacks, and having the big plays that Brady had repeatedly against Houston. So they're trying to address that. They didn't completely address nose tackle, but they're taking some chances. They have a six-round pick that I like in Chris Jones from Bowling Green that I actually think is not only going to stick on this team, but sooner rather than later. How about a six-round pick starting on this team?
Interesting. Indianapolis Colts. The Andrew Luck era is upon us. They've surprised with how many wins last year. Are they any better?
Marginally better, unfortunately. Of course, there's tape out on Andrew Luck, but he's the one quarterback. I don't care about tape. He's going to get better.
Yeah.
Of course, they did an offensive-only draft because the prior regime just gutted the team in a number of different areas, and they couldn't concentrate on defense. So this was going to be the draft that they concentrated on defense. I didn't like the fact that only three of the seven draft choices were for defense. What I did like is that they got absolutely bigger in the trenches, which is something I've called for years. Again, what I didn't like is that they didn't finish the job. They did not finish the job at linebacker. They didn't finish the job at cornerback. Marginally better.
O-line?
O-line is serviceable. It was probably good beforehand. I know a lot of people said that they could have done a little bit better that way. They got two offensive linemen in this draft. I'm not worried about their offensive line.
Okay, move on to the Tennessee Titans, who I don't know where they're going, but maybe you have a thought.
We talked about coaching staffs in peril. Maybe Detroit's coaching staff is in peril. Maybe some of the other coaching staffs are in peril. This one is most definitely in peril. What they did is they got an offensive guard. That was a need. And they got the fifth out of five. I understand that completely. They traded up for Justin Hunter. And what they did there is they got a top seven receiver, and they got him either as a complement to Britt or a replacement to Kenny Britt if Kenny Britt never grows up. So I like that pick, although personally I might have gone somewhere else because you were going to get a top seven receiver later. And in reality, Tennessee still has glaring holes with their pass defense percentage, and they still needed another offensive lineman.
And finally, the Jacksonville Jags, who, again, going in, may be the worst roster in the NFL. They're right there anyway.
They're right there. They're in the bottom four. They couldn't fix everything. I applaud them for not chasing a quarterback when if what we expect, maybe not what they hope for, but if they go 4-12 and show progress, they're in line to get a better quarterback in the talent-rich 2014 draft. So the best thing that they could do is build their draft right now, build their team right now, and get better right now.
Of course, four wins would mean they were twice as good as last year.
And, you know, that's a realistic expectation, as fortunate or as unfortunate as that may sound. That is a realistic expectation. The problem is they kind of drafted all over the place in this draft. I think if I would do a draft redo, I would find better players at every position, every draft position that they had. And that's not a good thing if I can find better players at five or six or maybe even seven of their draft choices, I could find better players.
Would the better word be playmakers? They need playmakers on that team. And they didn't really get any, and obviously you had to get Jokel when you got him, or somebody like that, right?
I'm okay with Jokel. I'm okay with Cyprian, who can make plays in the back end of the defense. No, you're right, they didn't get enough playmakers, but they also didn't get enough starters. And so it's both playmakers / starters. How many of this draft will actually start? Do you really need two punt returners, an Ace Sanders and former quarterback Denard Robinson in the middle of the draft when you have no cornerbacks, you have no sack help? This team has been at the bottom of the sack pool, and they could use a little bit better pass protection.
So it sounds like what we're discussing here is really Houston is a prohibitive favorite, and Indy will probably not get to the level they got to last year, only because it's hard to win 11 games any year.
Going into the draft, there were questions whether Houston could be caught because they didn't fill pass needs. I don't have that question anymore. I have Houston as a solid number one. Because I don't think the AFC is as good as the NFC, I think Indy is still a very viable playoff contender, especially when you talk about the maturity of Andrew Luck.
Don't tell the Baltimore Ravens that the AFC is not as good as the NFC. They are the defending champions, of course, but the Super Bowl is last season. It's old news now, the AFC North. What do you think of the Ravens?
I think everything changed because of a fax machine. It's as simple as that. Everybody left. Nobody came in. This team was primed to be behind, improving Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh, who's a solid organization. As soon as the facts didn't go through, all of a sudden they picked up three players, Dumaville, Huff, and another player at linebacker, I believe, McQuain, who may or may not see the field because of off the field transgressions. And then they killed the draft. It's as simple as that. That one of the best moves in the draft was going up from 62 to 56. We're not talking a lot, but enough to make Arthur Brown their 10-year linebacker of the future. The guy can play any position. He has the instincts. He has the speed. He would not have been there at 62. He should not have been there at 56.
Are we saying, once again, that we've talked about for 100 years now, it feels, a good team is a good team for a reason? It all starts at the top, and they just find ways to stay good, don't they?
GM Ozzie Newsome.
Guy's awesome. Yeah.
Why do teams continue to draft in the bottom 10 year after year? Because they blow the draft. Newsome drafts in the 20 to 30 every year because his team is so good, yet they wait patiently for a safety and they get one of the top four. They trade up when they need to get probably a top three linebacker. And then they get a sleeper guy at 94, Brandon Williams out of Missouri Southern State, who just makes plays.
By the way, I have season tickets to their games. Go ahead.
That's perfect.
I just don't know where they're out.
There aren't that many, you know. But I will tell you this. All three of them can play. Then they get a great work ethic guy in John Simon. They get the best blocking fullback in the draft from Harvard, of all places. They fill with rotational offensive tackles after that. What can you say?
I think you just did. Cincinnati Bengals. How good are they now?
They're coached up because I really like what they have in terms of the kind of quality and innovativeness they have with the offensive coaching. And one of the great defensive coaches who I predict can only be there one more year. I mean, he's got to be taking... You know, the defensive coordinator on the team has got to be a head coach next year. And they've drafted well for four consecutive years. Did they make a splash draft? I'm not sure. But for the first time in 4 years, they zigged when everybody else thought that they would zag. They took a tight end, an athletic tight end, clear number one tight end in Eifert when nobody thought they would go tight end. And then they take a running back. They needed a running back. You thought they'd get their traditional plotter. Instead, they got an elusive running back when nobody thought Bernard would be the first running back off the board.
So how do you grade them?
I grade them pretty highly, but not exceptional, because a lot of their picks are value picks, but not splash players. Eifert is going to be in that two tight end system, and he's going to make some plays in the red zone. Bernard is not an every down back, but is what Cincinnati needed. Kobe Hamilton, a wide receiver in the third tier of wide receivers, had 90-some catches for Arkansas last year, and the way Cincinnati uses wide receivers, they may not have been able to get a better pick. This is a person team fit.
Pittsburgh Steelers, a very disappointing 8-8 last year, and I'm hearing just contradictory comments about what they did in the draft. What do you think?
This is a draft more than any in the past decade where they had more needs, and they absolutely had to address them. They did address them, not in the order I would have, but they did address them. Jarvis Jones fell to them. New Orleans took Vaccaro, a wise choice, over Jarvis Jones. That freed Pittsburgh to take them because nobody traded to get Jarvis Jones at 16. This is a Pittsburgh Steeler. Yeah. And that's fine. They drafted Sam Spence last year, and unfortunately, the injury he had is so massive, he may never play football.
That's
so
awful.
So they needed Jarvis Jones. These things happen. Bell is the type of Pittsburgh Steeler running back that they like. Again, we're talking about a draft void of speed at running back, but Pittsburgh has never been about speed at running back. What they want is a dependable guy, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, the blue-collar Pittsburgh Steelers, have lacked a dependable running back, so they were willing to take him over much better wide receivers at that point. So they're going to use Antonio Brown as a number one and Oregon Stater Marcus Wheaton as a number two, who has the same speed as the guy they let go, Mike Wallace, but he doesn't have the yards per reception ability of Wallace, but he does have better hands than Mike Wallace. So there's a lot to like in Marcus Wheaton, who's a number two. He's not a number one wide receiver.
And finally, the Cleveland Browns, who have been in the basement, and they may need a ladder to get out of there. What do you think? I mean, how tough is it going to be?
You want the good news, bad news? Let's start with the good news. The good news is they were primed to make a leap in this division because they already had a decent defense, And I actually love their coaching staff they brought in. They stole Ray Horton, the defensive coordinator out of Arizona. He's going to make them instantly better, and he understands that division because he was groomed in Pittsburgh. This is unbelievable to have him. And to have Norv Turner as offensive coordinator, the pieces were in place to make a draft that mattered. And then Cleveland decided 2013 wasn't the year that they were going to draft.
How can they do that? Seriously, where is the direction? There's none.
I understand that the 2014 draft is going to be better than this year. I'm one of the guys who talked about that. But they disappeared in this draft. They took two mid-round draft choices and turned them into futures picks, meaning they only got five picks. And what they got out of these picks, are you ready for this? They got Bartavius Mingo. Don't turn him sideways because you might lose him. Rail thin, boom or bust. Lean on the bus side in terms of pass rusher. Leon McFadden, an excellent nickel corner, but not a starting corner. Jamarius Slaughter, who, quite frankly, I didn't spend a lot of time in my 413 draft evaluations, so we're going to leave it at that. Armonte Bryant, a small school D end.
East Central, where is that? Do you know?
It's in Oklahoma.
It's probably west of... North, I think.
Yeah, he's in Oklahoma. Maybe they thought they were getting a Sooner. And then they go, of course, Shadron State
for
offensive tackle.
Have they just given up on this season saying, we're really not going to care until the 2014 draft?
I hate to say this on air, but I thought Mike Lombardi would be overmatched in the draft room. And I understand it was a Joe Banner, Mike Lombardi organized draft room. I don't think they did the best that they could have right now.
So let's look at the AFC North, and are the Ravens the prohibitive favorites?
They're the favorite. However, if you look at the regular season last year, their defensive numbers started to slide. So they don't have Ray Lewis, and they don't have their safety, whose name is eluding me right now. But they don't have the guys.
Ed
Reed, thank you. The institutional memory is gone, and it's going to take a year to get that back. And I think that makes them vulnerable. So if Cincinnati or Pittsburgh takes the next step, I think these three could go down to the last week or two.
Wow. And finally, the AFC East and the New England Patriots. And you never know what you're going to get from a Belichick draft, do you?
Well, we talked about this off air. I love what they do. Boy, I love what they do in the middle of drafts. I don't like what they do at the beginning of drafts, and I don't like what they do at the end of drafts.
And are they in pattern?
They are completely in pattern. They traded out of 29 when they could have got a cover cornerback, which they don't like. They actually don't like cover cornerbacks, and it shows in their pass deep percentage. Or they could have got a knock the top off wide receiver. And you know Brady would love that. They have the underneath guy in Amendola. They have everything you need and more at a tight end. All you need is a guy going deep like Patterson. They worked out Dobson four different times, and Dobson is smart, the guy they took at 59. And this is what they do. They draft well at 59, but they didn't get impact at cornerback. And they could have gotten impact at cornerback, and they take too many reaches. And I think they're moving their training camp to Rutgers, if I'm correct, because they took three guys during the draft and one after the draft.
Well, Belichick's son used to coach there, and there's that whole connect. I mean, they just love everything about Rutgers, apparently. Maybe they might be moving to New Jersey, for all we know.
I had no idea Rutgers was in the top 20 in the NCAA, but I'm going to research that again.
So it sounds like it's pretty much just an average draft for them.
It's an average draft. Dobson has Marshall ties. He went to Marshall. He makes the tough catch. He doesn't have quite the speed, knock your sock off, as Randy Moss. And he doesn't have quite the instincts as Deion Branch. But you're talking about Marshall. Marshall, Marshall, Marshall.
How about the Miami Dolphins? They had plenty of early picks. What did they do with them?
Jeff Ireland is an interesting GM. He went all in this year. You saw how much money he spent in free agency. You saw that he made the move to go up from 12 to 3 this year. He bragged about how he only had to give up 42 to go to 12 to 3. By the way, you should never brag in the NFL. But he did get a very good defensive end. Now, Deion Jordan, he did not play all snaps at Oregon. Oregon had a rotational policy. So if he plays all the snaps, stamina could be an issue. But he's definitely a very good player and potentially one of the two or three best pass rushers out of this draft. Everybody thought they'd go for Lane Johnson. Not as much of a fit here. The issue I have with Miami is they got a lot of players. They stole Jamar Taylor, the cover cornerback, at pick 54. I probably have 10 teams that should have gone to get him before that. The only thing they didn't really do was offensive line, offensive tackle.
The Buffalo Bills, fascinating first pick for them. And everybody just wants to know, where did that come from? Especially when their coach had a quarterback from college who he just said, you know what, he's good, but he's not for me in the pros. What do you think?
Sleight of hand was at play here. Obviously, Manuel is the kind of quarterback, not elite like Kaepernick and Russell Wilson in terms of having that intellectual everything to see the field at this particular time, although Manuel does have smarts and he does have enough playing time at Florida State. But basically, Buffalo tried to deceive everybody. They worked out 9 quarterbacks. They played up 3 quarterbacks. Then they draft somebody different in Manuel. And what happened here with Manuel is they did trade back, at least. Everybody bought into the NASB at 8.
Right.
So they traded back from 8 to 16. I think Manuel was more, to me, like a 25 to 35 range guy. But if you think somebody else is in the mix for Manuel, you go get him. Whether he's the right fit, that's up to be seen. Right now, we've got a quarterback who's better at first reads. He's not going to throw a wide receiver open, but he is more athletic than the other quarterbacks, and I think he has a chance to be the best quarterback of the group.
And we had to save the best for last.
I want to do one more with Buffalo.
Oh, please, go for it.
Yeah. If you ask me what their best pick was, it wasn't during the draft. That's how much I'm a little disappointed in Buffalo. There was a troublemaker in the draft at wide receiver. Derrick Rogers kicked off the team at Tennessee. Potentially their number one guy at wide receiver at Tennessee. In fact, he put up number one stats at Tennessee before he was kicked off. You're talking about a team with Cordell Patterson and Justin Hunter, and he's every bit as good as him. Nobody picked him in the draft. Buffalo took him and Robert Woods. Potentially, they have two of the best 10 to 12 wide receivers with Steve Johnson at wide receiver. If these guys can toe the line and if they have that quarterback that can get them the ball, I think Buffalo nailed wide receiver.
I'm just going to say, though, do they have the quarterback to get them the ball?
If Cobb stays healthy, here's an in quotations, maybe.
Oh, wow. That's a big boost for the Bills fans. Again, saving the best for last. Everybody wants to know about the New York Jets and what they're all about. A new GM, a new regime, 400 quarterbacks. What did they do in the draft?
The good thing that they did is that they can cancel the construction plans for building a bigger quarterback room. When they let go of Tebow, that left them with only 5 on the roster.
Well, actually, when they had Tebow, they still only had 5 quarterbacks.
Yeah, I won't go there.
I just did.
But I will tell you this. This is a tough market for Geno Smith. I have no problems with him being taken 39th.
I think that's fine with value.
But this is New York. He just fired his agent. He sulked in the war room, in the green room, blue room, yellow room, whatever room that's called in the NFL draft. I think he's fine at 39. I just don't know if things don't go his way, his demeanor in the bowl game, his demeanor in bad weather in the bowl game, his demeanor on draft day, his demeanor firing his agent. It's one thing to let go of an agent. It's another thing to let go of his agent right now.
Is he different than Jay Cutler when you look at just demeanor?
I like Cutler better. I think Cutler cares in his own way. His makeup is a little different. I think Geno Smith's performance suffers when he gets that way.
So how do you rate the Jets draft?
I like what they did in the first round. Sheldon Richardson is not my favorite player by any means because he does nothing to stop the run, in my opinion, and Missouri did nothing to stop the run. But the way the Jets use that kind of position, he's going to fit. He's going to be very active there. And D. Milner, you know, was the best cornerback, and they obviously had a void with Revis gone. Did they do enough? To me, they had the worst talent in the NFL because they lost 8 starters from last year on defense alone, and maybe even 5 starters on offense. They got Ivory from the New Orleans Saints. Is he going to be their feature guy? I don't know. I think you got to put somebody with him. Their best draft pick might have been Brian Winters out of Kent State, because this guy is a starting offensive guard from day one.
I remember Brian Winters was traded for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That was a long time ago. That was a different one. So let's look at the AFC East overall. And is it still just the Patriots and whoever else is there?
It's just the Patriots. The Bills had a futures draft. They're moving back. You know, the Jets don't have the quarterback play to move up. Miami has a shot in the watered-down AFC to make the playoffs, and they position themselves for win now with their free agent acquisitions and so on. But as far as winning the division, it's got to be New England.
So a quick wrap-up of everything. Is there one, two, or three teams that stand out to you as the absolute best in the draft this year, and then the bottom of the rung as well?
There's not necessarily standouts, but what I like about the good teams is good teams like San Francisco and Baltimore are going to be able to take – they weren't complacent. They got better in the draft. Teams like – emerging teams like St. Louis and Atlanta got better in the draft. Did they kill the draft? No. Are there going to be A's and F's? There's not necessarily going to be A's, but the good teams found a way to get better. At the bottom – teams like Buffalo, teams like Detroit, teams like Cleveland, you're talking about teams that drafted in the top 10. How could they slide, but they did?
And the other thing we talked about earlier, was the second round that much more interesting than the first round, do you think?
A lot of people out there said there were anywhere from 6 to 12 true first rounders and about 60 second rounders. Here's how I see the draft. And remember, this is 2013, and this draft is not... And the boomer bust is the best way to describe it. I would categorize this draft as 12 first rounders, 20, maybe 24 second rounders, and about 50 third rounders.
Wow, interesting. Here's one that most people don't bring up. Is this the best seventh round ever?
No, talent level got too thin. It may be one of the best fourth round evers if the quarterbacks in the fourth round outperformed the first round and there was enough talent that slid by because teams made mistakes in the fourth round. Not enough talent in the seventh round.
And finally, everybody wants to know about the quarterbacks. Give me your thoughts on the top two or three that are going to try and figure out to be an actual high-quality NFL guy.
I got to tell you, you may bet 0 out of 7 with this group. I don't want to necessarily go out on a limb. I think if you want to reach for the stars, Tyler Wilson, drafted by Oakland, the guy nobody's talking about, has a chance to be better than the rest of them because McKenzie is going to build a foundation for the team. He doesn't have to be rushed. He's not right now, unless Oakland moves again, in the high market that New York is in and so on and so forth. I think he can build along with the team. Now, he may never work out, but this is one guy I'm looking at. And maybe Manuel works out, but Buffalo doesn't have enough team talent around him.
Well, that wraps it up. Another year. It was fun, right? Are you totally into what happened, or are you disappointed, or what? I mean, where do you stand?
I'm never disappointed when analyzing a draft, and I'm never disappointing when talking to you about it. You know, you're picking the brains for this time and really talking about the players. Let's start the season.
I think we
Why
just
do
did.
We need an off season?
Who needs games? Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.